Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay in Scotland, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Julie Young, who is the CEO of ASU Prep Digital High School. And Julie, welcome to Radio EduTalk.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
I really appreciate you taking time out to join us. And I wonder if you could start by just giving listeners a brief background to your career.
Sure. I am a career educator, started my career as an elementary classroom teacher, and kind of worked my way through what I call the education alphabet soup leadership roles, moved from the classroom to a curriculum specialist, to a technology specialist, to a professional development specialist, and then into administration. Had a really unique opportunity back in the late 80s, early 90s, when the school that I was currently working at had the opportunity to become a pilot technology school for the district. And this particular superintendent that we had at the time, and this was back when you could do this, procurement laws were different, he basically kind of set up IBM and Apple within the district and said, I want to set up these pilot technology schools and may the best company win, go forth and compete. And our school actually selected IBM for our pilot. And we were an elementary school. It was back in the days of teaching and learning with computers. It was a beautiful thing. Still today, the best blended learning that I've seen in my career. And our school was wildly successful. It was my opportunity and my responsibility to implement the program. We had, you know, tremendous engagement by our students, increase in student attendance, test scores, student engagement. And we became an international reference site for IBM. So I probably hosted 100 visits a year. So that was a wonderful opportunity, and I enjoyed the time immensely to learn a great deal about instructional technology. Then I had the opportunity to go to work on assignment for IBM for 2 years, work with their sales team as a practitioner, kind of like a practitioner within their team, and was responsible for training two of the districts in South Florida for a couple of years. Then was recruited to become an assistant principal and do it all again in a brand new school, left there and never thought I'd go back to education. My husband and I moved and to Orlando, and I had it in my mind I was going to go to work for a corporation in some form or fashion, and again was recruited back into the education space and presented with this wonderful opportunity to start what is now known as Florida Virtual School back in 1996. And I still today say that no principal in their right mind at that time would have given up their day job to take a position as a virtual principal, and which was a $200,000 break the mold grant for 1 year. But for me, it was a great adventure and a new opportunity as a new person in the school district, and I had the expertise as well as the relationship with IBM, which I exercised immediately and brought them into the fold as a partner. And lo and behold, we started with 77 students in 1997, and when I retired in 2014 from Florida, after 17 years with Florida Virtual School, we had 650,000 enrollments, approximately 350,000 students that we were serving in the state of Florida, and a number probably close to about 2 million worldwide. We were 5 schools at that point in time, K through 12, full-time, global, and supplemental for homeschool students as well. So tremendous opportunity that I'm grateful for every day. We had the opportunity to literally turn education on its head. We're directed to kind of reinvent the education space. So we really designed a program that put the student at the center of every decision that we made and asked ourselves what would change if we put the student at the center instead of the adult schedules. And the answer was basically everything. So the calendar went out the door, time frames went out the door, students became the driver in terms of when they needed a teacher and when they contacted a teacher. Students could work from anywhere at a pace that was conducive to their learning. They could go faster, slower, take longer, dig deeper. It really fundamentally changed the entire education approach to teaching and learning. So from there, I had some experience in the international space, primarily Brazil and China, and then was recruited to ASU in January last year. So I hit my one-year anniversary mark just recently and have now the privilege of rolling out ASU Prep Digital, which, again, is a really unique program where the innovation is really the integration with the university and an opportunity to create an entirely new category of school. So that was a lot.
Yeah, incredible. And it'd be good to maybe touch on Florida Virtual Schooling again later on, Julie. I'm just wondering about, can you give us kind of more information on ASU Prep Digital? You're saying it's a kind of entirely different kind of high school, and my understanding is it's primarily about the link to what happens next in the young person's career, i.e. going on to college or university.
Sure. ASU Prep Digital is a new online high school concept which allows students to take university-level courses and earn credit towards both a diploma, a high school diploma, and a university degree at the same time. It's a bit different than what we know as dual enrollment in that the students are actually concurrently enrolled at ASU, at Arizona State University, once they take their first college course with ASU. So the idea is that we really are driven to create a college-going culture. We want our students to, from an early young age, start to think of themselves as college students, as college-going students. Where I sit in Arizona, there is a large number of the population that don't go to college. And so there is a concerted effort by this university to really look at how do we create this college-going culture within our community by creating new models that are unique for different communities and are very specifically conducive to the learner. So we actually will be serving up a whole menu of college courses to our students from the day they enroll with ASU Prep Digital, and really encouraging our kids to start college in high school. We hope that our students will graduate with up to 24 credits when they leave us, and that they will kind of just slip right into ASU, and if not ASU, another university. When they graduate from high school, we don't want them to think about, should I go to college? We want them to think about the fact they're already in college and they should just keep going.
And to what extent are these experiences, blended learning and maybe focusing also on the technology, Julie? Maybe following on from your experiences at Florida Virtual School, what kind of technologies are the young people going to be experiencing, or what kind of technologies and approaches are they actually indeed demanding?
So the beauty of ASU Prep Digital is that it can serve students in a variety of settings depending on that particular need, that particular student, or the needs of that community. So we have a program that is fully at a distance. So students could be sitting anywhere in the world and taking courses with our teachers via online courses through an LMS. Within the courses, there will be opportunities for live lessons, for face-to-face video sessions, for virtual reality, for augmented reality. the courses will have a game-based diagnostic woven into the courses so that students will have the opportunity to kind of experience a highly engaging environment as they take the courses. So that would be students that want to take the course fully online. But in addition to serving students and to serving families, we also serve schools all over the world. So we have communities here in Arizona where students are in their actual schools and they're taking courses from us. Those courses could either be taught by their teachers or by our teachers. And then we also are providing a success coach for every student as well, in addition to the teacher. And that success coach is exactly what the title says. Their role is to work with each family, with each student, to ensure that that student comes to a level of success. One of the things that some people don't realize is that students really have to learn how to learn in this environment, and parents have to learn how to support their children in this environment. So our success coach will take on that role as well as follow that student through their entire career while they are with ASU Prep Digital. But these communities use us. We have a group of students that are in China that will be starting hopefully by April 1st. Those students are coming to us for a dual diploma. So they'll be getting their Chinese diploma as well as their U.S. diploma and taking the courses they need to take for the U.S. component with us at a distance. Here in Arizona, we have kids who are in very rural areas where they are unable to attract highly qualified teachers for some particular courses, high needs courses, and so we're providing those courses. One community in particular, their students did not have the courses needed and necessary to be eligible to go to college because they could not offer all the courses. So we're filling that gap. Another community not too far away, it's a very different scenario where we have a group of high achieving 7th and 8th graders that we are providing algebra to so that they can advance. So one of the things that we feel really strongly about is that we're not a cookie cutter program. We're a program that goes into a community and says, how can we help? How can we serve? And design the program around the needs of that school community or those children.
And I would imagine, Julie, that a lot of the work that you're involved in just now, and indeed, I suppose, that the whole vision around Prep Digital must be based on a lot of the successes and the innovative practices at Florida Virtual School.
Yeah, the beauty of it is that you have the opportunity to bring 20 years of experience and do it again. So you have, the team that I have assembled here, several of them were at Florida Virtual School. Others were in other virtual schools that were quite successful in the U.S. And so we've been able to bring that collective expertise and say, okay, now where do we go from here? One of the major differences between today and even 3 years ago is the technology has finally advanced to the point that it is more helpful. So let me explain that a little bit further. When we started Florida Virtual School, we certainly had an LMS and we had a student information system. The LMS I always describe as the basket that holds the books. The LMS holds obviously the content. There was and is some level of tracking within the LMS. It had gotten a little bit more sophisticated by the time I left in 2017. But when we talked about personalizing education for students, the teachers primarily did that work. The LMS certainly held the courses. It certainly could tell us how long a student spent on a lesson. It could certainly tell us what time of day a student was working on their course, was able to house grades and assessment scores, etc. But in terms of truly personalizing the learning, the teacher did that manually for the most part. So the courses that we're building, which is great fun, as you might imagine, to get to start over with the build, the courses that we're building will be fully adaptive. The front end is a game-based assessment, as I mentioned earlier. So a student will start the course by entering a game. And then depending on how they track through that game, they will move forward on the continuum, or they will be pulled into other content for additional help or more support. And then as they continue to master the standards, they'll go back into the game. And so they'll have the opportunity to kind of truly work through the course at a pace that is conducive to their academic needs. But the technology will actually learn the learner and serve up content that is specific to that learner's needs. In addition, one of the things we're really focused on is in student engagement. And, you know, it's funny because years ago, you might hear a teacher say, well, you know, it's not necessarily supposed to be fun. Students are here to learn. It's their job. And we're very focused on the fact that we know that whether you are 5, 15, or 50, that anything that you are engaged in at a high level, you are more likely to retain and learn. So we're really focused on virtual reality and augmented reality components where students can have an experience while they're in our courses and hopefully improve the learning, the stickiness of the learning significantly. So those are our high school courses. And then probably our secret sauce is, again, the opportunity for students to combine college and high school by taking concurrent courses where they actually get into their major potentially as a high school student. They actually have the opportunity to take a course that is, the first or second in the series of a nursing degree or a business degree or an engineering degree, as opposed to only taking those courses that are those first 2 years of requirements that we all have to endure when we go to college.
I found it interesting reading some of the literature around the Prep Digital, is that you've kind of increasingly realised that so-called virtual education is appropriate for all types of students. So can you just explain a bit about maybe what the assumptions of yourself, but maybe widely held assumptions a few years ago have maybe been forced to change, particularly as you say, when the technology is now so suitable for everybody?
So it's kind of interesting because when we started Florida Virtual School literally 20 years ago, we had conversations about, okay, should we test the students' technological capability? Should we give the students other types of, like, entrance exams, so to speak, to determine if this is a good learning environment for them? And we had these stereotypical, perceptions that only certain students would be successful in online courses. And what we learned very quickly is that all kinds of students were successful in online courses. So, you know, the original assumption was it would probably only be the smart kids because courses were really rigorous. So we soon learned, you know, that students who were behind, it was a wonderful opportunity for those students to actually be able to be pulled back to the level that they needed to start with without being ostracized in the classroom or sent to another room or to another school. So those students had the opportunity to kind of catch up in the privacy of their own space with a teacher that was specifically devoted to them. Students who were ill had the opportunity to continue their education without missing school, so to speak. Students who were pursuing dreams, such as Olympic athletes or actors, actresses, we had students on The Voice and other shows such as that, could continue to avail themselves to a high school experience and still pursue their dreams. Kids who had school anxiety, Asperger's, were the product of a divorced family situation and therefore They were shuffled back and forth between two locations, which might be in two different school districts or two different states. All these types of scenarios, we found that students just came out of the woodwork in terms of looking for options. What we found is that it was really about how the teacher worked with the technology to personalize that child's experience. It was important that we made sure that students were engaged with other students. It was also tremendously important that our teachers were engaged with our parents, and that they made our parents their partners. So when you then now come to where we are with ASU Prep Digital, number one, as I mentioned earlier, the technology is much more helpful than it was when we started Florida Virtual School or even 5 years ago. So that is a huge value add and a huge plus. But in terms of many of those other assumptions about the types of children, all that I, you know, previously said still applies. But when you get into thinking about the college courses, we make assumptions as educators that we have a tendency, because human beings have more negative thoughts than they have positive thoughts, to immediately jump to, well, our kids can't, or those kids can't. And, you know, whether you're a college professor or a high school teacher looking at a middle school student, we have these arbitrary time frames of which we have placed students into by their age and grade. And I have yet to be able to find why those arbitrary time frames actually have any meaning other than organizing organizing bodies, kids, in a logical fashion. So we have had 13-year-olds that have taken college courses and been incredibly successful and surprised their professors. That's obviously an anomaly, but what we want to do is give our kids the opportunity to advance when they're ready and expose them to the opportunity. So not every student is going to want to take a college course in high school. Not every 13-year-old for sure. But if we can just expose our kids by the time they're a junior in high school to some level of college course work, we feel like that we will significantly increase the possibility that that student will actually go on and go to college, which, of course, is, as we all grow old, what we hope will happen, as these are the people that will be writing our paychecks and taking care of us later.
Indeed. And just finally, Juliet, you know, I wonder how you see the future playing out then. You know, you're somebody that's very passionate and heavily involved in, I suppose, reinventing the way that the education is delivered, or models of education. And, you know, your incredible success on a worldwide basis in terms of helping to provide access to learning for students, you know, when and wherever they want or need it. But can you just leave us with some thoughts on where your own work is maybe progressing, but you know, casting an eye across kind of blended learning, online learning across the world, mm-hmm. what should we be looking out for and reading up on or experiencing for ourselves as educators?
So it's my belief that every classroom at this stage of life should be a blended learning classroom, and that with the level of technology that exists in our lives, by not utilizing technology in our classrooms where our students are for 6 to 8 hours a day, we are starving them for a learning opportunity that actually prepares them for life. It is also my belief that online schooling, online learning isn't going to replace schools, but it is going to dramatically change schools. I don't think every student will go to school every day, nor do I think that they need to. I think there are many kids that do need to go to school every day. That might be the only place that they eat. There are custodial functions in our schools. There are healthcare functions in our schools. But there are also opportunities for kids to learn in other places than a school building. We like to say that school is a verb and not just a noun. And so the idea that a student must go to a place to experience learning is no longer accurate. So I think it calls for very creative administrators and teachers who understand how to, number one, manage a class in motion, as well as organize a group of students based on the needs of the students. So you may have some kids who come every day. You may have some kids who come three times a week. You may have some kids who come once a week. You may have kids who come only for athletics or for band. You may have some kids who come only when they need extra help or tutoring. Other kids might come when they want to work on a project with a group of students. So I see the actual in school ecosystem continuing to morph and change. If we look at the way the world of work works and then we look at our schools, there's absolutely no comparison. If you think about when a child gets out of high school, where they have been with, in many cases, in our small towns, they've been with the same students for 12 years as they've worked there in the same little town. And then we want them to go out into the world and be productive, and they haven't had the opportunity to learn how. So I think it opens up just so many doors. One of the two things that I felt like I was not able to realize at Florida Virtual School, so when I left, I felt like I hadn't quite finished, was number one, the integration with the university. That was not a dream we were able to realize in Florida. And then number two, although we had students that we served around the world, we didn't connect those students with each other. And so that is one of our other goals, is that as we bring more and more international students into our ecosystem, that we can connect these students so that they can solve problems together, they can learn together, they can laugh together, they can learn to respect each other's diversity. As opposed to if I'm in Florida and I grow up in Miami, if I go to Tallahassee, I might as well be in a different country. So the exposure to people who are different than they are, we think, is something that is a life skill that as we prep our students for college and career and life, that we have a requirement and a responsibility to provide.
Julie, it's been absolutely fascinating having you on the show this evening. Really interesting. I'm sure that our many listeners in the UK and further afield will have really taken a lot out of hearing from your stories and learning from your passion and your experiences. Can you just leave us with maybe a couple of places to go to online to find out more information about your own work and the work of Arizona State University in this particular field?
Sure. So our website is ASU Prep Digital. That's all one word, asupprepdigital.asu.edu. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter.